Could you pray for me for a moment that I'll be able to speak the Lord's words, and I'll pray that they are able to reach your hearts, that the Lord's words reach your hearts. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the Gospel, Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 62, and it was a passage that was well known among the Jews at that time, the Essenes, community in Qumran. You've heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found relatively recently, but there was a whole community of Jews that were there awaiting the Messiah. Among those Dead Sea Scrolls, which were written just before the time of Jesus, was this expectation that a Messiah would come who would proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord, just as we heard in that passage. And they quote frequently from Isaiah 61, actually, I believe, not 62, and also Leviticus chapter 25, which talks about the Jubilee year. In Leviticus chapter 25 are all of the legislations for the Jubilee year. That Jubilee year took place every 50 years, 7 years times 7 years. If you remember, there's everything happens in sevens. Every seventh day is a day of rest, right? The Sabbath. That's what we're gathered together on the seventh day. That's gotten shifted to the Sunday rather than Saturday. But anyway, that's another topic for another time. But every seventh day is a day of rest. Every seventh year is a year of rest. You've heard of the sabbatical. I know that's especially in certain academic circles, and that practice is observed, that there's a year of rest. Every seventh day, a day of rest. Every seventh year, a year of rest. And then every 7 years of 7 years is a Jubilee year. And the Jubilee year, as it's described in Leviticus 25, is a time of totally starting over. You've incurred debts. Maybe you think of your mortgage. You think of the land. Maybe your family got into a bad situation and you got to work the land. You've entered into an indentured servitude. Whatever debts were there, whatever outstanding property was there, whatever bank accounts, everything, the slate is cleared. You know, it's like Monopoly, right? You just clear everything off and start over again. Everybody starts at the beginning. And it demonstrates the way that everything is a gift from God. We have this idea that we have this kind of ownership. I deserve this thing. I've won this thing. I earned this thing. Everything's a gift. It's all a gift from God. And so in the Jubilee year, just all the debts were cleared. The slate was cleared. Just a big time to start over. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody's a brother and sister. We're talking about the nation of Israel. And so that family notion of, okay, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all on the same page. Well, there was an expectation that the Messiah would come and not just clear the slate in terms of economics, but that the Messiah would come and clear the slate in terms of the indebtedness that we have toward each other. How many years do you think it takes before we start to build up grudges against people? How many years does it take before somebody has hurt us and we start to put people in categories? Maybe if we're a relatively well-balanced person, we don't have too many grudges. We just would rather not be with that person. And you can think of, you know, Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so and the whatever, grandmother, sister, niece, nephew, or neighbor, friend, fellow parishioner. You know, I don't mind seeing them in church, but I'm going to sit at the opposite end of the church, whatever it is. We build up all of these categories, maybe really extreme, like if I see him, I want to kill him. That would be very extreme. Maybe more minor, like all things being equal, I'd rather walk the other way than be near that person. But all of that tends to shrink our hearts a little bit. Shrinks our hearts. to have all these categories of people I like to be with, people I don't like to be with, people I hate to be with, people I can't stand. When we make all these categories and we start to shrink our lives, and part of our hope is that a day will come that we don't have to waste any energy doing all of that, that we can actually be reconciled with people in a way that we don't have to run from this one or run toward that one, but we can really love as God loves, that those divisions and barriers are broken down. And that's what the Messiah promises. And he promises that not just in this kind of magical way, like he's going to snap his finger 3 times and everything's going to be wished away, but he promises it by entering right into the midst of it. Jesus is not a stranger. He's not surprised by all of our family conflicts and our personal conflicts and our likes and dislikes and the ways that we've been hurt and the grudge. He's not confused by that. He's not naive to that. Nor does he hate us for it. He actually enters right into the midst of it, and he wants to help if we would only turn to him. But so often we keep those things entirely to ourselves. I'm going to work out all my issues in my own way. I'm going to do that on my own time, and I'm going to keep God out of it. But Jesus wanted to, he enters right into the midst of it, and he's just waiting for us to ask for help. It's hard. People are hard to be with. Believe me, I live in a monastery with 160 monks. You think we're all friends? You're nuts. It's hard to be with people. People are hard to be with. It's taxing. It takes energy. It's work. We don't understand each other. Listening is hard. It takes a lot. We need help. And the beautiful thing is that God wants to help us. He wants to help us, if only we would ask. But we have to want it. We have to actually want resolution. We have to want reconciliation. We have to want to work through things. We have to want to communicate. And then if we ask him, he helps us. That's part of that Jubilee year, a year acceptable to the Lord. At the end of our gospel, it said, Jesus said, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And that happened 2,000 years ago, and it also happened today. Jesus proclaims today a year acceptable to the Lord, a Jubilee year, a year in which our sins are wiped away. God doesn't hold against us all of the ways that we've offended him. And believe me, we've offended him more than we've offended anybody else. God is willing to let go of all of those things in order that we can be reconciled with him. And if each of us is reconciled with him, if he is the clear center, and we're all willing to take a step closer to him, the result is that we take a step closer to everyone else. And that's part of how God breaks down those barriers, removes those grudges, and helps us to be reconciled with one another by drawing us, first of all, closer to him, so that his friend becomes my friend. And God is the one who can befriend each one of us. Because when God looks at us, he doesn't see the sum of all of our failures and our sins. He doesn't see all of the things that disappoint him, that have let him down and have failed him. When he looks at you and when he looks at me, he sees all of the goodness that he's placed there in our hearts. And if we ask him, if we let him show us, he'll help us to see that in one another as well. Trouble is, we don't always want to see the goodness in our enemies. We prefer to just limit them and push them out of our minds, push them out of our lives. But if we ask him, the Lord can show us the goodness in everyone else, which helps us to realize that he sees the goodness in us. So as we take this step closer to him in celebrating this Mass, we all come before him. We come before him and he has no illusions. He really sees us as we are. And I trust that you are at least as honest with yourselves as I am with myself. It's not that pretty a picture. I mean, you know, we can lie to ourselves, but the reality is, it's not that pretty. But he sees through all the mess, and he sees something beautiful. He sees something that he has placed there. So as we come before him and he removes all of the dross and the duplicity and our blunder, and he sees us as we are, let us ask him also for the grace to be able to see our brothers and sisters as they are. And then we will have taken one step forward in allowing that year acceptable to the Lord, that Jubilee year, truly to take root in our lives, in our families, in our parish, in our community, in our nation. We can take a step forward even in making that more manifest in our world.